Welcome to Coastline Church, seeking renewed faith in Humboldt County by being settled and secure in God's love. To learn more, visit coastline4square.com.
Well, good morning to you all. I don't know about you, but when I do something really dumb, I am so hard on myself. I'm the first one to say, oh, you're so dumb. And I'm not dumb. I mean, I have a BA in psychology. I've had to have some smarts to get my degree. However, there are some common things that I just can't get it right. And one of those things is this. Car trouble. Can you relate to it? Man, they're always doing something. Make you wonder, what is this going to cost me? Anyway, it happened again. I went out to start my truck, and it wouldn't start. This is the third time in 2 months that I've gone out, and my truck has not started. Had a dead battery. Something was wrong. So the first time, I called the tow truck, and they jumped it, and I wasn't going to mess around. I went right down, and I got the biggest, the baddest battery, the most expensive battery that I can buy. I thought, I am going to fix this problem, right? However, 2 weeks later, my car would not start again. I called the tow guy. He came. And the problem was a connector bolt was not tight enough to get the power from the battery to the engine. Okay. And so I found out something really fast. When there's no connection, there's no power. So the third time, my granddaughter had turned the back seat, the light, and it stayed on all night long. And the next morning, that wonderful battery that cost a lot of money, it was dead in a doornail. And so I called the tow, and they said, "Hi, Linda."
That's bad.
Now they know my number and they know my name. I come up on their instantly. And so we're on first name basis now. So the bolt and screw I just handed you, excuse me, the bolt and nut, is to remind you that when it comes to prayer, you have to have a firm connection to have power.
Amen.
There's no connection, no power. Prayer is your connection to the source of all things. It's all power when it comes to God. And also, if you pray often enough, you'll get on a first name basis.
Yeah.
Right? He knows you by name. He knows what the problem is before you even tell him. He has got it all. So where would we be without the Lord's power to help us, to heal us, to guide us, to change us? Most miracles happen during prayer. One thing to keep in mind is that prayer always begins with a problem or a need or a want. A disease needs healing. Someone held captive to addiction or drugs or anything that holds them back, they need deliverance. Someone who can't pay the rent, they need provision. Salvation, someone needs to know the way. And prayer can help in all these situations. And I only know of one person who can meet all those needs, and that's God. And you know, Abraham, he prayed and he needed a son. He was called Abraham, the father of many. Well, he had no sons. How am I going to be the father of many if I have no sons? He needed a son to carry on his name and to fulfill that promise that God had said, you will be the father of many, more than sands on the seashore, you will be the father of. But he had to wait 25 years before it happened. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, but God closed the mouths of the lions and he rescued Daniel. It came out safe. Prayer got him into that lion's den, and prayer got him out of the lion's den. Jonah was in the belly of a great fish because he was disobedient to God. And God made that fish barf him up on a beach so he could do what he was supposed to do and realign his will to God's will. Job lost everything. But God, after all the counseling from Job's friends, gave him a job to do so that he could work with God on this. So he made the Eliphaz, the Temanite, and all those others, Bildad, Shuhite, and Zophar, he made them sacrifice bulls because of their offense and for not representing God in the way that God really is. And so God says, my servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar did what the Lord told him, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. And after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again. He restored everything back to Job that he had forfeited because of Satan. And he gave him twice as much as he had before. And all his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. So God restored Job because he prayed for those friends that tried to lead him astray. And God revealed himself to Job. And I think that's that connection. God will reveal himself to us when our connection is nice and tight. And it's, we're connecting with all the power. God bless you. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, he died, but Christ resurrected him just by saying, come forth, Lazarus. Prayer makes things happen. And prayer is such an important and vital resource for the believer. We pray because Jesus prayed often to his Father, and is how he refreshed and recharged himself to carry out all that he did while he was, on this short lifespan that he had to do it in. You know, if Jesus, fully divine, needed to pray to his Father God, how much more important is it that we have to pray? Not only we have to, we need to pray. And you know, as I was sitting there, I was thinking, God let me see that in Revelations, he says, the prayers of the saints rise up to him as a sweet incense. He loves the smell of our prayers. So there shouldn't be anything that we would like to withhold from God, right? Give him that sweet smelling prayer of yours. In Luke, we find Jesus is praying often. It says he went out to the mountains to pray. Jesus was praying in private. One day, Jesus left the crowds to pray. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus got up early and went to a solitary place to pray. He told his disciples to sit here and pray while I go over there and pray. And he prayed that, Lord, if this cup will be taken from me, take it away, but not my will, but your will be done. Jesus looked towards heaven and he prayed. So what is prayer? And prayer is simply that bolt and nut that tightens up and makes the connection. It's connecting with God, communicating with God. It tightens the relationship. And during power, during prayer, we praise him, we confess to him, we thank him, we ask for our needs and desires to be met by him. All this stems from a loving and intimate relationship that we develop with God the Father. It can be a private time. It can be a public time. Mother Teresa from Calcutta, her secret to effective prayer is this. Prayer is simply talking to God. He speaks, we listen. We speak to him, he listens. It's a two-way process, speaking and listening. The thing that makes the most difference in ourselves and others and in this world is that we do pray. Because remember, prayer changes things. It changes the atmosphere. It changes the attitude. It changes what's happening that needs adjusting. Now, many of the Psalms are actual prayers. The writers had no problem expressing their emotional states or their feelings. There was anger and doubts. They addressed their depression, sorrow, disappointment, fear, deliverance, lament, praises. They expressed their love for the king. They expressed their joy and their defeat and their victories. The psalmist laid bare all that he was experiencing and trusted that God would tend to all of them and any of them. God is big enough to handle our stuff. His love is unconditional, and he will not reject us, and he will not reject our prayers. When you pray, you are cultivating that attachment, a firm connection to the Father's love and his favor. God wants to be close to you. And in John 5:13-15, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything in accordance to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked for or asked of him. This is a condition to prayer, and that is that we pray according to his will. And when we pray, when we're praying his promises back into that person's life or your own life or whatever situation it is, you're giving it the promise of God that it will happen. It's his will. He doesn't want his name to be maligned. He wants his name to be exalted. And so he's true to his promises, and he's the one who backs them up. There is a condition to prayer, and that is that we pray according to his will, not our will. His ways are much higher than ours. In his time, we wait for him to move. His answer, not the one I demand or that I negotiate in prayer, is all up to him. And we can trust him because he knows what's best. He knows your story. He knows you from the beginning, and he knows your end. And there's nothing that he does not know and that he does not appreciate in you. And there's nothing that he's not willing to help for you. When I pray, I am putting things and people and problems back into the capable hands of God. You know, there was a little boy and his daddy, and they went to the candy store one day, and the candy store owner says, little boy, he says, if you reach into that candy jar, he says, I'll let you have for free everything that your hand can grasp. And so the little boy thought for a second, and he looks up at his daddy. He says, Daddy, will you reach in and grab it? Your hand is bigger than mine. Our Abba Father has really big hands and is more than willing to help his children with their issues. Doesn't the Lord tell us in Matthew 11:29-30, come to me, seek me out. I'm here for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give the answer. And when you're carrying a load of troubles, concerns, and worries, man, you almost bow down under the weight. And it consumes your every waking and trying to sleep thoughts. And he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So hand them over. Hand all those things to God, and he will give you peace. When you become aware of a need, say a little prayer to yourself or out loud. You know, I was thinking today, I see people walking down my street and they have these little white things in their ear and they're just talking away out loud. And I'm thinking, you know, in another era, they would have thought that person's nuts. They're crazy. They're talking to themselves. But now it's like everybody's talking to themselves or to the little white thing in your ear or whatever. Okay. So you can pray to yourself. You can pray out loud. Do you have a little white thing in your ear? I'm looking.
One.
Okay. So you're not crazy anymore. All right. And pray immediately. When something comes on your heart, don't go, well, I'll be praying about that. Immediately. Short accounts. Quickly. Prayer is not the least you can do in any given situation. It is the most and the best thing you can do. Prayer is an act of faith, and prayer activates faith in you and those you pray for. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious, bothered, fearful, or upset, I added, about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. And I, you know, sometimes you'll see somebody who's going through a really hard time, and you go, how can they even function underneath that strain? And you know what? God's peace must be in them, because how else can they stand? We wonder, how are they able to stand? It would break me. But you know what? Prayer somehow makes that connection so that we tap into the power of God and his peace. Jesus says, I give you peace. I'm leaving earth, but I'm leaving my peace with you. And peace comes when we pray. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what concerns you concerns God, because he loves you that much. He wants to hear your voice, just like the song said. So how do we pray? Well, you know, there's no wrong way to pray or position that we pray in. We can be walking, running, sitting, talking on the phone, standing, or flat on your face. Eyes open, eyes closed, hands folded, hands open, hands hanging down. Arms up, arms down, in your home and all around town. I have got to quit reading my children's books that have these rhymes in them, right? It's not the position of your body that's important. It is the posture and intent of your heart. These are the ones, God says, I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. And that word contrite has a meaning. It's called surrender. Let it go to God. Don't pick it up again. Let it go. Jesus, so we're going to go to Luke 11. And Jesus is teaching on prayer here. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say. Now, this is the New International Version. I was raised on the King James. When I first came to the Lord, it was the Schofield Study Bible. It was King James all the way or no way. So I'll read you what this says. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. How did you learn it? The King James? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Thank you, Randy and Joel. I see you. And you're right on. So notice that Jesus did not say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. So that tells me that he expects his chosen ones to pray in order to keep the connection strong and active between him and them. So when he says, our Father, so, you know, when you write a letter to someone you love, you might write, dear friend, you address them with an endearment. Or you may write, hello, my lovely. This is an indication of how you feel about that person. It's an endearment that comes from a relationship. God wants to hear how you feel about him. What do you believe about God being the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory? God wants to hear how you feel about him and what you believe about him. And it's an excellent starting place for any prayer. Tell God who you think he is. All righty. It says, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed means holy. We are attributing to him, to God, all of his holiness, all of his purity, and all of his honor that he alone possesses. Your kingdom come, your will be done. When we pray, we are calling down the kingdom of heaven to arrest this world and put it into his custody. We connect to the superpowers of God and surrender our will to his will, which is good and perfect. Give us this day our daily bread. We make requests for those things we need on a daily basis. And you know, one thing I've learned, nothing is too minuscule to lift up to God. You might think, oh, he doesn't need to hear that drivel. He loves to hear your voice. He wants to be included. He wants the connection. And we also present others' needs to the throne of God. And forgive our sins or our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. You know, forgiveness is the core, is at the very core of the kingdom. And Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. And when we extend forgiveness to those who offend us, we are so much more like Jesus. Next one, and lead us not into temptation. Oh my gosh, God does not lead us into temptation. And we don't need to be led into temptation, right? Man, temptation is sitting at our doorstep, just waiting for us to open the door and come out to play with it. What we do need is a deliverer to rescue us from that temptation, and that person is our Heavenly Father. Now, the doxology, that part that says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, that was not added until 1611. Because they had found earlier manuscripts that had that in it. This is a prayer that has come down through the centuries. The Jewish people, the Israelites prayed this prayer all the time. And the Protestant churches, they actually accepted it and they printed it in the King James and the New King James, but no other of the modern versions even put it in there. They didn't print it. So that's why the King James and the New King James have it, but the others do not. Luke 11, 9, and 10. Let's read that. Okay, then he said to them, suppose one of you is a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, midnight? Whoa. I would be afraid if I heard somebody knocking at my door at midnight. I'd go, what happened? Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And that was a very cultural thing too. If a friend came to your home, you were responsible to feed them, to take care of them while they were in your home. And so it was very common for them to go to each other's houses and ask for food. However, midnight? Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not only get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Boldness. Persistence. All right, here we go. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." It's kind of like the old woman who went to the judge, and she kept going to him, and he says, "What is it with this lady? She keeps coming before me and keeps, and he says, I'm so tired of her. Give her whatever she wants." And that's the same thing for us, is God doesn't say, give her whatever she wants. He says, you know what? Praying aligns you to my will. You're going to ask for those things that you really need, that are important, and that align, not only align to my will, but it connects us in a way of trust and intimacy that you can't get any other way. You can never fail at praying. The only way to fail is if you fail to pray. True story. There was a missionary helping serve tribes in a foreign land, and he set out one day and was traveling to another tribe in the jungle. And it was getting dark, so he decided to camp overnight in a clearing. And he did not see the three men who were watching him and had been stalking him in order to harm him and take his possessions. So at the same time that this was happening, at the opposite side of the world, a man from their home church awoke from sleep, being told by God that he needed to pray for this missionary. And so he made a call out to other men of the church. 11 men showed up. The missionary woke up the next morning and began his journey. And along the way, he found a tribesman laying on the side of the road with an injury. So when the missionary asked him what happened, he said, "The three of us were going to steal from you and hurt you. But when we came near, we saw 12 large men standing guard over you. We ran away very fast, and I was hurt. My friends did not stay to help me." The missionary helped the man to the next village and tended to his wound. So he decided, "I'm going to call my church and find out what's going on." And he asked them, "Hey, what was going on last night about midnight?" And they reported that they were called to prayer for his safety, and they prayed all night long. That is exactly what happened for this missionary through the prayers of 12 men who got up at midnight and started to pray for him, for his safety. God did that because of prayer. You know, you never know when or where or for what you've been called to pray for. I do know from my experience that the more I pray, the more comfortable I get in praying. And I become more willing to pray when asked to. And my prayers are more to the point and specific. They get shorter and shorter because I know I'm standing on the promises of God. I trust God with the need, and I know he's going to come through at his will, his time, his way. So I don't worry about that. I have total peace. I don't take prayer lightly. I'm talking to God the Most High. There is no higher power. There is no other person I can turn to. I long to hear his voice, and it is my honor and my privilege that he desires to hear my voice. He wants me. He wants you to talk to him. Tighten the nut on the bolt. So yesterday, as I was typing my notes, during my break, I was outside and a neighbor lady walked by. She had told me a couple of weeks earlier that her husband had gone in for cancer surgery to remove a huge tumor on his kidney. And I said, I didn't know that. Well, anyway, I knew that he'd gone. And I said, how's your husband doing? The silence, the tears fell. And I thought in myself, oh God, oh God, oh God. So I went and wrapped my arms around her, and she said, it's not good. And I said, boldly, I am going to pray right now. And so I wrapped her in my arms, and I didn't care if she had faith. I didn't know where she stood spiritually, but I knew that I had to pray. I told her a little about her grief journey and what she would be undertaking in the next few weeks, and I encouraged her. I stepped back on the sidewalk, and she came to me and hugged me, and she said, thank you. And I gave her my phone number and said, you call me anytime. I will be praying for her. I hope she calls me, but I don't have control over that. But God has control over this situation. So my admonishment to you is pray, pray, pray. It's the most important thing that you can do. I'm going to read 1 Timothy 2:1 to you. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself up as a ransom for all men. This is a wise testimony. And somewhere I forgot that at all times, in all ways, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are interceding for you. We're not uncovered. We're not late. You know, we're just not out there talking to the air. We're talking to the King of Glory, who he himself is interceding for us all the time. Isn't it comforting to know that our names are being presented to God all the time by Jesus and the Holy Spirit? What an honor to have our little pictures on God's refrigerator. And he sees that. Oh, there's Linda. There's Kelly. Look at my kids. I hear them when they call, and I answer. When they knock, I answer. Pretty cool, huh? So what I want to ask from you is, when or how has God specifically answered a prayer of yours, or one that you prayed for someone else? Would someone like to share? Yes.
I was going through a difficult divorce, and my church had even done a fundraiser for a lawyer. It was really tough time. And I knew the next hearing was really critical, and there was supposed to be a huge storm coming, and it was far from home. And I just called on 5 or 6 people, and I just said, pray as you feel led. Just pray. And that day in court turned around everything. And when I called to report to everyone the next day, I was too exhausted that first night, but the next day I called, and one said, I prayed for the judge. One said, I prayed for the other attorney that his lives would be shown. I prayed for the weather, for your attorney to get there safely. Like every little bit of it, they had each taken a separate part. And that day, it finalized everything after 3 years going to court 21 times. It was all finalized that day because God's people.
Hallelujah.
God
worked. Yeah. It's pretty exciting when God meets a need, and he does meet all of our needs. What concerns you concerns him. And that's like every tightening of that nut on that screw, you get tighter and tighter and tighter in your relationship to God. Anybody else? Yes.
I had a very important task I needed to accomplish this week. And the night before, I promised you guys I did not sleep 5 minutes. And I needed to be alert and everything. So I called, texted a couple of friends, and I said, please pray. I need to be able to accomplish this task by being asleep. And you know, the Lord did come through. And everything was taken care of like if I was a person with a full night.
Amen. I love that. Doesn't that encourage you to pray? It does me. Anyone else?
Somewhere around 10 years ago, I had to make the emergency trip to San Francisco for Statham. They were already there. I made the trip in about 4 hours and 15 minutes. And after everything unfolded, I went to what amounted to my prayer closet, which was a curved section of the parking, elevated parking lot. And the Lord God felt me keep my son. He still has.
The Father's love. That's how God feels about us. It's pretty powerful. You'd do anything for your boy. God does everything for us. He went to the cross. What more can he do? And yet he's doing more. 24 hours a day, he watches over you. He intercedes for you. He loves you and wants to hear your voice say, Father God, Abba Daddy, I love you. That's a prayer in itself, to say, I love you. He'll take whatever he can get from you. You know that, don't you? So prayer is a whenever, wherever, anytime, everywhere kind of a connection and a communication with God. Anybody else?
I know it's small, but we pray before we take trips, you know. It's living testimony that he answers our prayers and keeps us safe. You know? And just makes us comfort, you know, gives us comfort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His peace. You guard your hearts and minds in Christ. His peace is so perfect peace. It's not like anything that you can manage or manipulate or make up yourself. It's a God thing.
We made it all the way down to Arizona and back in an electric car, so it's pretty amazing.
Well, I know that at one point in time you went to Arizona and you came and well, somebody got a wedding ring. God is amazing at answering our prayers, isn't he, though? Anyone else? Yes, Kelly.
Well, when you take the word pray, and I like to do this with words, and I do peace reigns around you. When you pray, that's exactly what happens. Because it just, God's peace will cover you in that situation. It empowers you. It strengthens you. It gives you that strength to go on. And so I always like to think about that. If I plug into the prayer outlet or, you know, the what you gave us, it means that peace reigns all around me. So I love that, you know, just to kind of remember that's why I'm praying. Yeah. I need God's peace to go forward, or I can't do it, you know. So, you know, prayer is a life one.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did I go through prayer changes us in many ways? I don't think so. If I start and I do it again, you know, because when we get up here, we're kind of a bunch of nerves. And we're making sure that all these facts are, you know, getting out there. Anyway, this is something interesting that I found. I love this. When we engage in prayer, it causes an increased blood flow to the brain. It causes the activity in the emotional centers of the brain to decrease. In other words, you're not anxious and nervous and worried and, you know, remunerating about things. It's those are calmed. At the same time, our brains are being bathed in a hormone called oxytocin, and it's called the cuddle hormone. It's what mommies get when they have their babies and all they want to do is hold that baby. Okay, it is associated with trust and relationship building. It lowers stress and anxiety and regulates positive communication. Man, you want to have positive communication? You pray first. And another thing is, am I repeating myself? Okay. So the person who prays becomes a conduit. You know, in biblical days, to get water, the source of life, wherever they wanted to be, they built this huge conduit, this pathway, this place where the water could run and it would go right into wherever they wanted it. Some of them were humongous. I mean, as wide as this room. And the water was diverted from the river and flowed into the city. And some of them were very small and they were about this wide and ran along a rock wall. But the water was diverted. And so we become a conduit with our prayers. We take the power of God, empowered. I love what you said there. Empowered to take the word of God and the promises of God and deliver them to the need. I love that. He works through us to partner with him in all his endeavors. And prayer is the evidence of a trusting, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Oh, there it is. When we do not know what to pray, we have the assurance that Jesus and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's perfect will. Wow. Pray, pray, pray. And you're going to get a chance to, because May 2nd, is National Prayer Day. And so you can practice your praying on, what is it, Tuesday? Or anyway, May 2nd, we're all going to be praying to God.
Thursday.
And asking him for some wonderful things to happen and changes to be made. So let me pray over you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can come before you and we smell so sweet to you when we pray. I just pray, Lord, that you would give us an extra portion of your Holy Spirit, that we would know what to pray. We would know how to pray. And Lord God, help us to always remember that you love our voice. You love to hear us. You love that connection that we build when we talk to you. And I just praise you and thank you for that. And I encourage us all to pray. In the name of Jesus, in glory to Lord, glory to the Lord, and amen.
Thank you for joining us today at Coastline Church. To find out more information, please visit coastlinefoursquare.com.